A new approach to stemming the opium trade, but will it work?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. The White House is considering a new way to stop Afghan farmers from growing opium poppies. Afghanistan is the world's leading source of opium, and the profits enrich the Taliban insurgency that's opposing U.S. forces there. Senior administration officials say they are considering paying Afghan farmers not to grow the poppies. On the line with me from Kabul, Afghanistan, is Jacob Townsend with the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. Good morning.
And good afternoon to you from Kabul.
The Bush administration's approach was to destroy poppy crops in the field. How well do you think paying off the farmers would work?
Well, in terms of delivering a lot of cash to people who would farm opium, it's very viable. But in terms of producing a meaningful reduction in opium cultivation, I don't think it's very viable. Those people who are farming opium tend to come in three classes. One is simple farm laborers. And for those people, paying them not to farm the opium will be irrelevant because there's such a surplus labor pool in Afghanistan that is available to take their place. With regard to the second and third class, which tend to be tenant and sharecropper farmers, those people will take the money and then they will find themselves in a situation of still facing pressure from the landowners and from insurgent commanders to grow, still devote some proportion of their land to opium. And we have to remember that in these areas, we have very, very little ability to enforce the bargain. If we could enforce the bargain, well, we would already be doing effective law enforcement. So those tenants and sharecroppers, I mean, I know if I was in their position, I would be following or bending to the pressure of my landowner or my local insurgent commander.
The U.S. wants to encourage Afghan farmers to grow wheat or pomegranates or nuts. How realistic is that?
It is realistic. In fact, what we're seeing at the moment is a natural correction in the opium market due to excess production in recent years. So we are expecting a reduction in cultivation, what you might call a natural market reduction, because the opium price has slid quite dramatically. So when it comes to the relative profitability of some of the other crops that are available, they do look attractive.
Jacob Townsend with the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, joining us from Kabul, Afghanistan. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
A couple of major corporate earnings just in this morning. Morgan Stanley lost more than $1.2 billion last quarter. Most of that came from its repayment of the government bailout money. Wells Fargo saw an almost 50% increase in profits, thanks in part to its buying Wachovia Bank. Those are some giant companies. Later today, we'll hear from the National Small Business Association when it releases its mid-year survey. Here is a preview from reporter Mitchell Hartman at our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, and it's not good.
Here's what's gotten worse since December: revenues, profits, number of employees on the payroll, and expectations for the next 6 months are down as well. Todd McCracken is president of the National Small Business Association.
There doesn't really seem to be a silver lining. There's not much here at all that seems to be have gone the right way.
He tried to be a bit upbeat.
The only, you know, good news here is that the news is bad enough that it looks a whole lot like a bottom and that maybe there's no way to go but up.
Small business owners list trouble with financing as one of their biggest challenges going forward. Two-thirds have seen interest rates or other terms worsen on their credit cards. More than a third had their credit lines or limits cut.
There was a lot of talk earlier in the year about stimulus and improving lending, but for a whole host of reasons, a lot of that hasn't gotten through the pipeline to them yet.
Only 3% of small business owners say they've seen a positive impact from the economic stimulus package so far. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed this morning, with European markets down less than 1% now. Asian markets were mixed on the day. Wall Street prices rose again yesterday, with the Dow gaining 67 points, closing at 8,915. And another big earnings report just in. GlaxoSmithKline is the world's second biggest drug maker. Second quarter earnings rose 11% from last year, and the company says it's talking with more than 50 countries about developing a vaccine for swine flu.
American Public Media presents After the Bell, a weekly podcast that makes sense of the week in business and the economy, available at marketplace.org.
American restaurant chains have been trying to lure customers by offering discounts. Makes sense, except it doesn't seem to be working. Analysts say the discounts not only are cutting into profits, but they're really not bringing in that many customers. We're joined now by psychology and business professor Kit Yarrow at Golden Gate University. Good morning, Kit.
Good morning.
So the way food discounting is supposed to work is it brings more people through the door. They buy the cheap item, but they also buy other food. And if they're satisfied, they'll come back again and buy at your regular prices. Why isn't it working that way?
Well, I think consumers have really been saturated with discount offers. And especially in fast food, all of the restaurant chains are really saying the same thing. And it's become a lot of noise to consumers.
Well, then what is a restaurant supposed to do in this recession?
Well, I think they have to go back to talking about what is special about them, which hopefully is, you know, something tasty to eat or convenient to eat. Or, you know, the other thing that always seems to work is to talk about things being free.
Does this say anything permanent about the American consumer mindset, or do you think consumers will snap back to old behaviors when this recession ends?
Oh, I definitely think it's permanent. I think consumers have really become used to being courted by all sorts of merchants, retailers of all kinds. And I think they're kind of perpetually looking for and expecting that pricing is going to be in their favor from now on.
So not just restaurants?
No, not just restaurants. And, you know, what I think retailers have to do at this point is to go back to looking at how they can differentiate themselves in some other way.
Kit Yarrow teaches psychology and business at Golden Gate University. Kit, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So much for talking about you, the consumer. I'd love to hear your take on this. Let us know at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.